The season we're in, it's very important to recognize what's being required of this. And I say required not like God is pointing his finger down at us, saying you better or else, but the opportunity we have to be a part of what God's bringing forth. God is doing something new. He doesn't ask our permission for that. It's not like we get a big enough consensus and God will do it. If we don't have that, God will wait for another generation. No, God is moving. He's doing what's in his heart. The question he poses to us is, will you be aware? That's a choice each and every one of us have. Do we choose to be aware of things of the Spirit, to see things from God's perspective, or do we choose to be locked into the natural mind, our own agenda, and see things from the natural perspective? And you know, we can try to hide from this, but eventually we have to come before the Lord and say, yes, I make a choice one way or the other. Are we going to be aware? Are we going to be a prophetic family that see through the lens of God's heart and mind? And that's what I think the Word wants to bring out in us. I hopefully create a hunger, or hopefully just bring you to that decision point where you recognize there's a difference between your thoughts and God's thoughts, and that he's not going to force his perspective on you. You choose to say amen and to be brought into that sight. Now, we can hide from that. I think church can be a good hiding place. I think often people hide behind somebody else's revelation. You know, you can be a part of the church system. And, you know, in Romans 8, it says the natural mind, the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh is what? Hostile toward God. But it's not hostile towards church or religion. So we can be in a religious system, and the carnal mind can still be fully active. And in fact, all you do is you just take the human agenda, just add some scriptures to it, and all of a sudden it looks like God. People say, I must be God. It's got the Bible in it. Yet it can still be the carnal human perspective. It can still be rooted in self and in ego. So in doing that, when we make that choice, we can be a part of religion, and the carnal mind is not resistant to that. It fits right in. But to God in the Spirit, our way of thinking has to change. And what he would like to bring forth now in this season is he wants us to be elevated into that awareness, again, the prophetic family, to see as he sees. In order to navigate during these times, I think, in the changes that are coming, I think it's necessary for us, or we're going to have a hard time in our minds. You say, well, my mind, I've been in my own mind for quite some time now. I've done just fine. Well, I don't know if any of us have done fine. I think we've had trouble all the way along this journey, our thinking versus what God has done. But I think especially now, if there's any time in our lives that we need to say, Lord, the best of my abilities, my intellect, I can't grasp the things you're doing in the Spirit. Give me eyes to see. Give me a heart to understand. That cry needs to be now. All right. The kingdom of God, I've titled these two words the prophetic family. And last week I didn't talk about family at all. So I want to lay a little bit of a foundation for that, if I can, this morning. The kingdom of God is understood through that lens of oneness and family. And when we talk about prophetic family, I think we still have this image created from reading the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. To be prophetic is you're just off by yourself somewhere alone. And of course, that was a good part of Old Testament history. But also in the Old Testament, there was a period of history where the school of prophets were functional. And that was more of a community atmosphere. In fact, 2 Kings 4, I know we were there last week on one of the stories, but the one before it, a woman comes to the prophet, I think it was Elisha, and says, you know, my husband just died, and, you know, he owed money, they want to take our sons. I don't want to get into all that, but she was a wife of one of the sons of the prophet. So I think that for a period of time, there was that sense of community, but it didn't last. In the New Testament, you don't hear about prophets a lot. You think, well, maybe the prophet ministry isn't there. It's only mentioned a few times. No, the prophetic level is there greater than ever before. When the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were moving in revelation. But again, it's more, in the book of Acts, it's more that sense of community. And we're going to discover more and more this prophetic level. There's a synergy in the body. When we can relate to the Lord and open up to his voice in oneness, we're going to increase each other's awareness. This is so important. It's got to be understood with family. We're going to be able to look at one another and see each other's lives from heaven's perspective. Now, why is this important? Because we've done just the opposite. I mean, church history is filled, and probably your own personal history, with believing God, and yet you look at people, and what do you see? Their personalities, their failings, their faults. We're constantly fighting, trying to get a right spirit about something with someone. We're trying with our own natural thinking to be positive. When God says, hey, listen, I want to give you that prophetic level, my perspective, where you can see the treasure in one another. Family is very important, and I'm going to get off this in just a second, but think of it in this way. You look at, like 40 years ago, you heard a lot about apostles, the gift of the apostolic ministry. It was very important. That was part of, after the latter rain, part of it was being restored. Now you hear apostolic families. I think that's significant. Things that God has given, gifts, are seen in that context of oneness and family. Same gift, but it's being expressed in a different way, experienced in a different way. In the natural, think about a family, a father, mother, having little toddlers. Kids are just being like 2-3-year-old kids. Let's say they have three of them. 20-30 years later, those kids are in the same family, behaving the same way they did as toddlers. Now, we would look at that and say, that family's dysfunctional. You've got a 20-30-year-old that's acting like a 3-year-old that won't leave the house, won't take responsibility. The parents, I'm sure, would be embarrassed. And we'd say, well, that's just something wrong there. Yet, in the church, that happens and it's applauded. You have a leader, a minister, and as long as there's lots of people gathered, and they're giving their time, and they're giving their money, and they come every Sunday to occupy their seat, people say bravo to that. But often what you have is toddlers. You have people that have been in the Lord 20, 30, 40 years that haven't grown. And yet when the religious atmosphere, you say, well, if there's a lot of people, a lot of activity, must be successful. But through that lens of family, we see things differently. We begin to evaluate whether there's been growth or not. You can't evaluate the success of a ministry on how many people are gathered or how much money they're given or how many programs they have. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. The fruit of every ministry is to produce growth in the body of Christ. So you see, like when we look at church, what we deem acceptable, if you look at just, again, the example of a natural family, you'd say, well, something's wrong there. These kids are 30 years old and they're acting like 5. There's something really wrong. Yet we don't look at church the same way. But the whole focus of being together as a church, and again, the more we get into this revelation of family and this prophetic, we're going to look and say, it's not about marking time, how many services I go to, how busy I am, or even how much money I give. It's about, is the word working in my life? Am I maturing? Okay. Talk about open heaven. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 28. We're going to go through a few scriptures here on this. Again, the prophetic. Prophetic level, you can say, what does it mean that we all prophesy one by one as expressed in 1 Corinthians 14? Yeah, it has to do with the gift of prophecy. Does it mean we're able to see things in the future or have a word of knowledge in people's lives? Yes. All these are different aspects of it. But I think the best way to capture the prophetic level is it's heaven's perspective. It's an open heaven. It's more than just prophesying. It has to do with a very important part of it is the creative word, hearing God, speaking what God is saying and having it happen. But it's a level where we know heaven is not closed to us. It's open. Now, in order for this to happen, we have to believe that God's realm of spirit is open. It's his desire to open that to us. So a first step is an issue of faith. Now in church, in religion, you hear a lot about heaven, but it's usually far away. We've got to do a bunch of things to get into that realm. I think sometimes religion creates more of a closed door. You're not sure of God's intent. If I do all these things right, then maybe he'll wake up and look at me and say, okay, I'll give you some time. This is not true. God's force of love for us is so intense. He gave his son for us. He is so intent on sharing who he is with us. We have an open heaven. Maybe we're just not aware of it. Breaking into this prophetic level, and I want you to hunger for it, is simply becoming aware of what's already true. Genesis 28. And, you know, how do things work in the spirit? I mean, in the natural, they don't work this way in the natural. But in the spirit realm, in the realm of heaven, it starts with faith. You got to believe. Maybe right now the heavens seem like brass to you. But you got to believe that my feeling and what's going on in my thoughts is not reality. Because the Word of God says he's created an open heaven. He wants to share himself with me. So we start with faith. And when we have faith, what does that lead to? It leads to spiritual sight. What we see in the Spirit, we become. What we become, we manifest. It's so important that we all start with that level of faith saying, God, I know that my five senses aren't tuned into your realm. Often my mind or emotions are not dialed into your realm. And that's why the way I travel and become a part of you in my awareness is I believe the word. I believe what you've spoken to me. In Genesis 28, speaking about Jacob, he has a dream. In verse 12, it says, he had a dream, behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father. And God begins to speak to him. In verse 17, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, God is coming on the scene early here and revealing to Jacob in a dream, but showing his intent that he did not want his realm to be closed to us. Jacob recognizes, my gosh, this is an awesome place. This is the house of God. How often we describe the house of God as a church building or a collection of people somewhere. The house of God is where we have an open heaven. The gate of heaven is open, and we're in his realm, experiencing him. Angels descending, ascending. Angels are messengers carrying out the will of God. We're to be in this realm. This is what we're to be aware of. I think we've been ripped off. I think in the religious world that we've all been a part of to a certain extent, we've been told, just here's some doctrine for you, believe them. But you're supposed to be limited by your natural mind, by your natural senses, and someday everything will be clear. And God keeps shouting down, hey, someday is now. I am that I am. Do we believe that in our life, as we walk through our day, that we can have an open heaven? I don't care if my natural eyes see angels or not. I'm talking about a spiritual awareness, the prophetic realm. To be aware that we are the house of God, which means that our lives are our gate to heaven. What's real in heaven is to be real in us and through us. Okay, turn ahead to Mark chapter 1. Now, this was given to Jacob way back. Now, can't get there. Where's Mark 1? Mark chapter 1, verse 10. This is when Jesus is baptized by John. And it says, immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening. Open heaven. Heavens being torn open. and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet. Before he starts it, and we've talked a lot about how the need to hear the approval of the Father before he did anything. But what's happening to him as he's being baptized? He's moving into an open heaven. The heavens are opening. And Jesus continued in that throughout his ministry. That's why when he walked, he had a different awareness. He's sleeping on a boat where the disciples are afraid they're going to capsize and drown. They weren't under an open heaven. They didn't see things from heaven's perspective. Jesus could sleep because he lived in his awareness in a different realm. He was in that prophetic realm where the Father was. Open heavens. Open heaven is created for. Now, turn to John chapter 1. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Again, that's how Jesus moved. And he said, You will see it. Your eyes will be open to it. Book of Acts, when they received the Holy Spirit, what happened? Described in a different language, but the heavens opened. A voice, a heavenly voice came forth and awakened an entire city. A city that had been responsible. People had been responsible for crucifying the Lord. All of a sudden, heaven invades earth. These 120 are gathered together. Open heaven is created. The creative word comes forth. That prophetic level is happening. And a whole city is awakened to the realities of God. This is what we live in. We have Jesus. Now, Jesus walked under an open heaven. Where does Jesus live today? In us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. So it's God's intent that as we walk the earth, the heavens be opened and we be aware of who he is in the Spirit and what he's doing. Now, why does this need to be voiced? I know everybody here believes it, but we've been conditioned to not accept it. We've been conditioned to be ruled by our five senses, to be ruled by our natural minds, to be ruled by our past history. We don't have to be under that bondage. We can make other choices. We can say, I choose to be aware of what you're doing. I choose to be prophetic. That's all it takes. We're going to wrap up here in Matthew. Chapter 16, verse 13. You know the story very well. I don't have to read the whole thing. It's when Peter has a revelation. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember he asked the disciples, Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter gets it right. Jesus said, Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. That's Matthew 16, verse 17. This is describing to me the prophetic level. It comes from the Father speaking to us and learning for us. Entering into a new learning process. Learning by the Holy Spirit, by the process of revelation. Now, what I want you to look at with this is, Jesus told Peter, you didn't get this from man. My Father revealed it to you. Where did Peter hear the Father? Jesus later says, they ask him, show us the Father. What did he say? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where was the Father? In the Son. So here you have Peter and a lot of others standing around Jesus, all hearing the same words, seeing the same actions, and yet Peter gets a revelation from the Father. Why Peter? I don't know. But it means we can be around the things of the Spirit. We can hear the same words, be in the same church, and be dialed into different things, can't we? For one person, that was a good word. Someone else, my Heavenly Father speaking to me. And what I want you to have is just a hunger. I don't think there's a formula here. Why Peter? Who knows? But he heard something the other disciples didn't hear. They heard the same words, but it's who he heard. He heard the Father, and it became revelation to him. He could see who the Son was. Let that cry in your heart of Abba, Father, loose. How do I hear the Father? I don't want to just hear words. It's just, you got to want it. That's all. I mean, I don't think it's step A, step B, step C. It's to recognize that I can hear Father God. And to let that hunger just come forth. What's happening in you? You're recognizing that the prophetic is within you. It just needs to be free, that you can live there. Now look what comes out of this with Peter. And I know this is very difficult because with all of us, we have so much static in our thinking. You say, okay, hear the Father. I hear so many things. There's so many voices and so many invasive voices in our lives. We have, you know, good voices, bad voices, all these things going on, and yet you say, I got to just hear one voice in particular, my Father. How do I do that? Well, recognize, first of all, that God wants to communicate with you. You're not doing this alone. It's not like God's sitting up there with a closed door, and if you can somehow find your way up and find the right door, he'll open it to you. He's in you. He created you to be in communion and fellowship with him. He created you to abide in that prophetic level, to see as he sees. Open heaven. So all these voices come and they cause the static. They interfere with things. Just keep listening. Let that Abba Father cry come forth. There's something in you. You get what I'm saying here. There's something inside. When I start here, think about this, I realize I've got a cry too deep for words. It just wants God. We all have that. Stay with that. That opens the voice up. And whenever the Father speaks to us, it's not thoughts he gives us that we just store away with all our other thoughts. Whenever he speaks and we hear him, it becomes revelation to our lives. And when we're in that process of revelation, like Peter, we're able to look at Jesus, we're able to see clearly what is the truth, and it brings a new awareness with it to our lives. Verse 18, Jesus says, I say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell, Hades, shall not overpower it. He's building his church on Peter? I hope not. Revelation. What's the rock that God builds on? The revelation. Whatever the Father is able to speak to you when you hear Father God and it becomes revelation in your life, spiritual growth results from that. Why? Because God can build on that. Remember, what's the name of the game here? We're not supposed to just collect in churches and to hear the same things week after week and do all these, you know, good busy things for church. We're here to grow up into him. How does growth take place? It takes place because God can build in our life. What does he build on? Revelation. Gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Oh, this is so powerful to me. I thought about this. What is a gate? From one, openness, from one thing to another, right? You open a gate to get from point A to point B, one realm to another. I'll tell you what, the gates of hell prevail against our thinking all the time. How many here would like to just shut those doors? I mean, how much time do you spend battling in your thoughts, right? Lies of the enemy, accusations, put downs, on it, the list goes on. Why? Because the gate of hell, there's access for those lies to get through to your thinking. But where there's revelation, Jesus said this, where there's that prophetic realm of revelation, Satan has no access. The gate of hell can't prevail against it. There may be a gate there, but like with Jesus, the prince of the world comes, he's coming, but he finds nothing in me. There's no openness. The more we move in revelation, the more immunity we have from the lies of the enemy. One more verse here, it says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. There's the creative word. Isn't that what we're believing for? What's true in heaven will be true in earth. Not just to believe it's true, but we can manifest it. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose, it's done. Where does that come from? Revelation. Those that are in that plane of revelation. This is what's being built upon that rock. Those that are built on that revelation, that prophetic level, can tap into that creative word. It's not how loud we speak. I think we pray and we speak in reaction to our own fears and unbelief. We're trying to get over a hurdle. When we're in that plane of revelation, you know, because you see. It can be a loud word, it can just be something whispered. You just know that what I see is true, it belongs here on earth. Absolute faith, and there it goes. That's the creative word. All built on revelation. All right, I'm going to close with a few verses about Jesus here, and you don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to read them. This is where he lived. You get that sense, right? When he walked, he was faced with so many obstacles and problems, and yet there was that rest and peace in his heart. He knew what the Father was doing, the prophetic level, and it was no problem just speaking a word or just bringing it down into the earth. Jesus said in chapter 5, I didn't write this down right, but I think it's in chapter 5. You'll find it somewhere there. Those who hear shall live. Those that hear the Father, hear in the Spirit, what comes out of that voice?
Life.
That's said in chapter 8 of John, verse 28, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I speak as the Father taught me. In the prophetic level, we're freed from our striving, what we got to do, our own initiative, our own agenda, our own ego, any of that stuff, because you just see what the Father is doing. You realize you're totally dependent on him. And as we hear, we simply speak what's revelation from that level. And because it's revelation, it has authority, it has anointing, and it's creative. This is the realm we're called to. Realm of the prophetic has to do with this. It has to do with what you hear, very definitely. You hear the word of God. It has to do with how you hear. And most importantly, it has to do with who you hear. When we're in that plane, it's personal. You remember that example I gave, I think it was maybe it was last week. Some heard the thunder. Some said, well, I think an angel speaking to Jesus. But what was the real thing that was happening? God wanted to make it personal. It was for those that were there, standing there. Jesus said, this is why this is coming forth. Who do we hear? When we're hearing the Father, it's personal, it's powerful. It not only changes us, but then it's something we're able to manifest and to give to others. We're called to be a prophetic family. God's intent is very clear. Now it's time for us to give our amen. Put our faith in it and say, Lord, I choose to be aware. I choose to be a part and live in that prophetic level. Amen.